Great. Okay. Right. So the word we get that we use that's translated fellowship actually means communion. It means common. It means together. It means sharing. It means participation. Now, if we take ourselves back to the day when this was occurred, it's a day of Pentecost. So it was the day when there was a festival in Jerusalem. There were three times a year when the men had to go and present themselves to God, and this was one of those festivals. They were in Jerusalem for this festival, and the Holy Spirit comes. Peter's speaking to the crowd, and 3,000 people on that day say, "How can I be saved? I need to repent. I need to turn away from what I've done wrong. I want to follow Jesus." So the 120 became 3,120 in a day. Now, can you imagine trying to connect that number of people? And yet we read what they did was they had fellowship. They had something in common. Well, what was it? What did they have in common? They certainly didn't have language in common because they heard the Holy Spirit through the disciples talking to them in their own languages. They didn't have necessarily their background in common, though they would have been Jews. There would have been very different people from very different places with very different issues, but they had the same Spirit. On that day, they were filled with the Spirit. They had the same response to the same Jesus, and they were filled with the same Spirit. But there's no record of Peter then saying to them, "Okay, guys, now you've kind of signed up, you've joined the club, you now have to be nice to each other. You have to love one another. You have to hang out together. You have to do life together." There's no sense of that here. For some reason, that sense of unity that they had came through being united in Christ, that there was a desire that came out of that to be together, to share life together, to do life together. They met together, they ate together, they studied together, they prayed together, because they had a common purpose, a common passion. They had one Spirit, one Lord, one Father. Ultimately, they became the members of one family. Now, I found this, which I think is probably my favourite definition of fellowship. So fellowship is living in God's family, loving each other as family, and working together as a family, united in Christ Church. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we asked him into our lives, we were born again into a new family. We immediately gained a bunch of wonderful and slightly weird people to call brothers and sisters. Just look around you if you're not sure. Family is all about relationship, isn't it? And fellowship is first and foremost about relationship. God's love welcomes us into his family. And it's God's love that enables us to love his family. So why do we need fellowship? Well, I'm going to look at three things this morning. I believe we need fellowship because we need to grow. We need fellowship because of we need to care and because we need to serve. So first of all, growing through fellowship. Ephesians 4 verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Each part does its own special work. Do you realize this morning, do you acknowledge, do you recognize that you have your own special work to do in this family to help the other parts to grow? Maybe that's not something you've even thought of. But this is very clear. Every one of us has a part to play in helping each other to grow. Now, you might say, "Well, I haven't been a Christian very long. I don't know anything. How can I possibly help someone else to grow?" Well, we'll look at that. Everybody has a part to play. This body will be healthy and growing and full of love if we all do our part. So how do we help one another grow? Well, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, when my mum and dad used to come and stay with us when we were first married, my dad used to moan every Sunday, because my dad always carved the meat on a Sunday, because that's what dads do, I thought, until I married Martin and realised he wouldn't go near it. But I thought that was the job of the man of the household, to carve the meat. Anybody else sort of think that's right? I mean, I just thought that was that's what they did. They carved the meat. Anyway, I used to get my dad to carve the meat on a Sunday, and he used to moan about my carving knife being blunt. So it was rubbish. No good. So he always used to moan, I didn't have a sharp enough knife. I do now have a sharpening steel, so I don't get moaned at anymore. But a blunt knife is still a knife, isn't it? Yes? A blunt knife is still a knife. So it's still a knife, but it's not useful for the task for which it was created, for which it was designed. If we want to stay effective, we need each other to sharpen one another. So it's not just about hanging out with the people we get on with. If fellowship was only about hanging out with the people we get on with, I don't think many of us would be sharpened. Does that make sense? Because if you think about it, the people that you get on with best are probably the people least likely to challenge you on anything. Would you agree? I don't know. Maybe your friendship groups are very challenging ones and you're always challenging each other. But generally speaking, challenging each other is probably not something that we feel comfortable with, is it? But if iron sharpens iron, what that means is that in sharpening one another up, we help each other to be sharp and effective. We help each other to get things right, to grow, to mature. So I don't know how you would feel if over coffee after church you were having a conversation with somebody and they suddenly said to you, how's your prayer life going? You might be like, ooh, that's personal. How dare you ask me that? Or, you know, you might be a little bit offended. But actually, as a body of people, as a fellowship, as a group of people who want the best for each other, isn't it good that we help each other to grow? And one of the ways we might help each other to grow is by knowing what our needs are, what our struggles are. And if we don't ask the question, we're not going to get an answer. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to immediately go around and ask everybody all of their personal business or expect them to tell us, because it's not about necessarily opening our heart to everybody. But it is about being able to be real, isn't it? You see, I remember Stevie Lofts, probably remember this, but I remember years ago on a Sunday, Steve would come up to me, and he probably did this to everybody, and say, so Wendy, what's God been saying to you recently? And there were times when I avoided Steve because I thought, I don't know if I've got anything to say. I don't know what to say. But actually, it was great because I knew that I had to think about that. What has God been saying to me recently? So, you know, I think that being real with one another is about allowing each other to encourage us and to perhaps challenge us. Would you agree, or is that a little bit of a step too far? Okay. But you know, we don't want to put pressure on people. We don't want people to feel bad, but we do want to spur one another on. We do want to challenge one another to keep going. So asking each other how we're getting on. How are we getting on with our prayer life? How are things going with reading the Bible? Are you doing the Bible in a year? How's it going? Are you struggling? Is it difficult? What do you think? Is there stuff you don't understand? Yeah. You know, all of that sort of stuff. That's what we should feel comfortable to do, shouldn't we? Not because anyone's judging us, but because then we can say, yeah, I got that problem too. Or, well, we could talk about it, or I'll pray for you. Maybe that might help. So we're not talking about telling everybody our deepest issues, but please tell somebody if you're struggling. We need to be real with one another, don't we? Well, I think we do. And I know I've talked about accountability before, but it's because I kind of really think it's important. You know, if we have someone that we know we can trust that will perhaps ask us some of those difficult questions, then we know that actually we are going to be encouraged to progress and move forward. But also when we meet together, we can use those gifts and abilities that God has given us to build one another up. That's the purpose of spiritual gifts, isn't it? To build one another up. So when we're together, we can use those gifts. So do we take it seriously? J.I. Packer said, "We should not think of our fellowship with other Christians as a spiritual luxury, an optional addition to the exercises of private devotion. We should recognize rather that such fellowship is a spiritual necessity. For God has made us in such a way that our fellowship with himself is fed by our fellowship with fellow Christians and requires to be so fed constantly for its own deepening and enrichment." In other words, God has made us so that we grow closer to him when we grow closer to one another. That our relationships with one another feed and encourage our relationship with him. And our relationship with him feeds and encourages our relationships with one another. You know, I read somewhere a quote, and I know I've used this before, but, you know, we talk sometimes about the fact that we have a God-shaped hole in our life that nothing else can fill. You know, we use that when we're talking to people about the fact that, you know, people might try and fill their lives with things, but, you know, there's a God-shaped hole in our lives only God can fill. But I read somewhere someone said, but it's actually like that there's another hole in our lives that God refuses to fill, and that hole is to be filled by fellowship, is be filled by one another. He's actually created us for family. He's created us for relationship. So if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus, we need to meet together. We need fellowship with other believers. So secondly, caring through fellowship. So we read in our Acts 2 passage, they sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. There was a care and a concern for one another that came out of this relationship with Jesus. Now remember, these people, many of them would never have met before that day. They'd come to Jerusalem, they were pilgrims, if you like. Obviously, they were the locals too. But these people weren't previously in relationship with one another. But there was such a sense of community that the people wanted to share what they had with others who had need. There was such a love for one another that could have only come through the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love." Our devotion to Jesus should lead to a devotion to his family. Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Really? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? Now, our prayer for each other, our care for each other, may not mean selling all our possessions and giving to one another, but it might mean material support. I know we've, as a family, certainly in years gone by, have been incredibly blessed by people's generosity. But it might mean practical help, emotional support, prayer. That's what pastoral care is all about. Pastoral care is not about the pastor providing care, all right? It's actually all of us caring for one another. Are we expecting someone else to do it? We do have a pastoral care team, and that's developing, and you'll be finding out a little bit more about that. But that's not about leaving it to someone else. The pastoral care team is to support you to care as well as to help as well. So we can all be involved, making a phone call, sending a text, maybe taking someone to a hospital appointment, visiting someone in hospital, doing some shopping, helping someone change a light bulb, whatever it might be. We can all get involved in caring for one another. We need each other, folks, don't we? Yeah? That's how God designed us. Now in Hebrews 10, verse 19 onwards is entitled in my Bible, A Call to Persevere. And I just want to read a couple of verses. Verse 24 and 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." So that's the growing together bit we've talked about. Spurring one another on, motivating one another, helping one another to make those right decisions. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, the Bible talks about us being in a race. And I know that Daryl's used the illustration of his running frequently. Fellowship is how we equip and strengthen and encourage each other so that we can run well and finish the race. It's all about the things that we do and say to one another to help each other go, keep going when it's an uphill climb. It's the way we encourage one another to follow Jesus. And that's our role as members of this family, members of the body of Christ, to catch one another when we fall, to bandage up the wounds, to encourage and cheer one another on. Now, I want to show a clip that Jonathan's going to put on for me. Some of you may have seen this before, and it's a clip from the London Marathon. So we just put this on. I don't need the volume right up, Graham, but you may remember this. Do you remember this, where a runner started to support someone else just as they were getting close to the end? He was really completely locked, had nothing left in the tank. But what, see what the guy's doing. Can you see he's pointing? He's pointing to the finish. The guy with him is standing beside him, taking him. This is a picture of the church, guys. This is the picture of what we should be doing. This is fellowship. Supporting one another. Supporting one another to get to the finish. Keeping going. Coming alongside. Who knows, as the guys said, to get this Chawton Harriers, this Chawton Runners. They weren't even from the same team. James, I know you've just run your own fantastic. And the guy who came alongside him sacrificed his own best time, maybe, in order to help the other guy get across the line. They help him, they support him, they get him to the finish line. And say keep going rather than stop and carry them over. So I'm feeling slightly. Thanks, guys. That's what fellowship is all about. When I saw that again, I thought, you know what a wonderful picture of what we should be doing? Coming alongside one another to encourage one another to say, look, there's the finish line. Look, you're getting there. Keep going. Come on, you can do it. I'm with you. We're going it together. I'm there. Doesn't matter. You trip up, come on, I'll help. Let's keep going. I trip up, you help me. We do it together. We're all running. And at the same time, we're all helping one another to run. That's fellowship. It's absolutely essential to our spiritual growth and health. And it's essential to our ability to persevere in the faith. Now, some of you may say, well, hold on a minute. We've been talking about that Jesus is everything to us, and shouldn't we just be dependent upon Jesus for everything that we need? Well, you know what? God has designed us and his body that we are the ministers of his grace and mercy to one another. So, yes, we're dependent on God, but God uses you, and God uses you, and God uses you, and God uses me in order that others may receive God's grace and encouragement and strength. We get renewed and refreshed by the things that other people do for us, by their acts of kindness, by their generosity, by their support and encouragement. We are the channels through which God's power flows. So yes, we're dependent on Jesus, but it's not wrong to receive from one another, because that's how God chooses to minister his grace, to minister his love through his body, which is us. So finally, serving through fellowship. Romans 12, verse 4 to 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. I thought that was really interesting. We all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. You know, as human beings, we want to belong. We want to feel a part of something. You know, the government is looking at new initiatives to combat loneliness because loneliness is a killer. God said at the very beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. I actually know a joke. Do you want to hear a joke? Yeah, I've said it before, so you might have heard it before. But God created the world and rested. God created man and rested. God created woman, and since then, neither man nor God has rested. I can say that because I'm a woman. Okay. Sorry, where were we? Okay, it's not good for man to be alone. That's why God is so passionate about community. It is his plan for mankind. He designed us for being in relationship, for us to belong. But belonging works both ways. Belonging has responsibilities as well as blessings, doesn't it? When you belong to something, you have a part to play. So are we taking our responsibility seriously? That we belong to something, that we have a part to play. Every part has a responsibility, has a role. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We have been given gifts and natural abilities by God, and we are supposed to use them to serve others. We're so blessed in this church to have so many people who are willing to serve. Hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours that are given voluntarily to serve in this body. It is fantastic. People who work incredibly hard, people who do jobs that no one thinks about and no one sees, like the guys who count the money after church on a Sunday. They sacrifice their coffee and chat to be able to go and count the money every week. What an amazing thing that is. There are so many things that are done in this building and as part of this fellowship. But serving one another should be something that we delight to do because we're part of a family. We all have gifts and abilities that God wants to use. And maybe you have gifts, abilities, talents that you feel you're not really using to serve this fellowship yet. Please come and tell us because we'd love to make use of you. We'd love to see you serving. But you know what? In family life, sometimes there are just jobs that have to be done. I have to say, I don't feel particularly anointed at housework. Yeah, anybody else agree? Anybody love housework here? One or two. I'm not one of them. You can come to my house anytime you like. I wish I loved housework. I really do. But you know what? We do it, don't we? Yeah, because it kind of needs doing. Because we love the family, we run them around places. We do things for them. Less now, fortunately, as they're getting older. But doing the laundry, all of that kind of stuff. But you know, we do it because we love the family. Not because we particularly feel that it's our heart's desire. And it's the same in church family life. You know, there are jobs that you may feel particularly called to do, anointed to do. Great, do it. But you know, sometimes there are jobs that we just do because we want to serve. I don't know that I'm blessed by the people on the Tea and Coffee Rota, but I don't know how many of them would say, I feel God has called me and equipped me and anointed me to make coffee. Now they might, and that's great, but I'm guessing there's a few other people on the Rota that probably don't feel that, but they do it because they're serving. There are so many people, and I'm not going to go through everything in order to embarrass people or whatever, but it's just, you know, I just think as a body of people, we are called to serve one another. And sometimes those jobs might be menial. Sometimes they might not feel very exciting, but they're important. They're valued. And it's our contribution to the fellowship, to this family of God. We need a servant heart, don't we? Jesus said that he had come to serve. He washed the disciples' feet. If anyone had grounds to say, that's not my job, that would have been Jesus, wouldn't it? But he said he came to serve, not to be served. We all have a role to play. And we show our love to one another by the way we serve one another. Now, there are some specific jobs that we need more help with at the moment. There's been an email go around. We need some more help with stewarding, with creche, with the lounge, overseeing the children, doing the first service and at the end of the meeting. And with the evening service starting next week, we're going to need some more support with that. We could do with some more help at Alpha, loading the dishwasher and making drinks on a Sunday night. How can we serve one another. What can I do to serve? So how can we develop relationship? Our relationship with God is personal, yes, but it was never meant to be private. And fellowship, community, will not just happen. Oh, where am I going? There we go. So if we come back to our passage, there's no passivity in these verses, as I said before. There was action. The believers met together, prayed together, broke bread together, studied the Bible together, served one another's needs together, praised God together. They made a choice to be together, to love and care for one another, to learn together. It all sounds very easy in this Acts 2 passage, doesn't it? But I bet it wasn't, because being together is not always easy. Anybody agree with that? Some of you are being honest. It's not. Because we are a pretty weird bunch of people, aren't we? Or maybe it's just me. Okay. And I'm going to tell you another joke, but I've told this one before, but I like it. Milton Jones said, "When it works, church is like Lego. Accommodating each other's knobbly bits makes us all stick together." I nearly said wobbly bits when I did that before, but after my comment about someone thinking I was pregnant, I'm not going to go down that road. But it actually, it's true. What was that, Mr. Osborne? Good. We are all individuals. We're all different shapes. And I mean that not just physically. I mean in terms of our personality, in terms of our interests, in terms of who we are. But we fit together well because God has made us to fit together. But being devoted takes work. Daryl gave a definition of devotion which included strong attachment to or affection for a cause or person marked by dedication and loyalty. The definition of dedication is the willingness to give a lot of time and energy to something because it's important. And I really like this quote from Rick Warren from The Purpose-Driven Life. The importance of things can be measured by how much time you are willing to invest in them. The more time you give to something, the more you reveal its importance and value to you. Time is your most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. When you give someone your time, you are giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. Your time is your life. That is why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. It is not enough just to say relationships are important. We must prove it by investing time in them. Words alone are worthless. Relationships take time and effort, and the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. He goes on to say, the essence of love is not what we think or do or provide for others, but how much we give of ourselves. So if the importance of something can be measured by how much time we give to it, that is incredibly challenging to me in terms of my devotion to God. But it's also challenging in terms of my devotion to fellowship and how important this fellowship is. Am I investing myself? Am I giving of myself to help others grow, to care for others, to serve in this family? John Ortberg says, to experience community is to know the joy of belonging, the delight at being known and loved, the opportunity for giving and growing, the safety of finding a true home. We want this to be a home. Welcome home. It's something that's really important to us as a fellowship, that people would feel at home here. But being at home is about belonging, about being known and loved, about giving and growing. There's a responsibility that we have. Let's just close your eyes for a minute, if you would, just to take a minute to reflect. Just want to ask ourselves some questions, really, just to give ourselves a minute to kind of reflect on what we might feel God is saying today. Am I devoted to fellowship? What does that look like in my life? What would it look like if I could say, I am devoted to fellowship, to this body where I'm placed? How much of myself am I giving to others? Am I helping others to grow by spending time with them? Do I recognize that I need others to help me grow, however uncomfortable that might feel? Am I taking my responsibility to this fellowship seriously? Could I be serving more? How much effort do I put in to fellowship? Lord, I thank you that you have created us family, that is your pattern for our lives, that, Lord Jesus, you have invited us into the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be in relationship with you. And Lord God, you have created us to be family together, whether we're single, whether we're old or young, married, families, whatever the shape of our natural family might look like. God, I thank you that none of that is significant when we come together as family, because here we're family. We are all family. But God, you've called us as family to grow together, to care for one another, to serve one another. And Lord, I pray that we would model that more and more, that we would be devoted to fellowship, devoted to meeting together, sharing together, growing together, learning together, spurring one another on, encouraging one another, picking each other up when we fall. Just as we watched in that video, getting alongside, putting our arm around each other, helping each other. Lord, that this fellowship would be known as one of love, as a family that knows how to love and care for one another, so that as new people join us in this family, they would be welcomed in and feel a part. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the head of this family. You are Father. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to demonstrate your character to one another, to be ministers of grace, that you've trusted us with that. And Lord, we want to do the best that we can do through your Holy Spirit. Amen.